That verse 6, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now I would like to preach to you for just a few minutes tonight on who will call him Wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. Father, we thank you for this privilege to be here tonight. Thank you for the precious Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for these wonderful people. Pray your blessings upon this meeting, further to this meeting. May your anointing be upon this service for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. The prophecies of the Old Testament concerning Jesus follow two major themes. One is a suffering theme. We see the suffering Messiah, Psalm chapter 22, Isaiah chapter 53. And then we see the prophecies concerning a reigning Messiah. In the passage that I've read to you here, Micah chapter 5 and verse 2, different scriptures show us a reigning Messiah. So the prophecies run along these two lines of a suffering Messiah and a reigning Messiah. It seems like, and in many minds, those two lines of thought are irreconcilable. They can't bring them together in their mind. But the scriptures teach us that the sufferings of Jesus led to the exaltation of Jesus, so that both of those lines of prophecy come together in one person, in Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the promised Messiah. He's the suffering Messiah. He's the ruling Messiah. In the scriptures we read that Jesus Christ will have a literal kingdom on this earth. He'll rule and reign for 1,000 years. And then for all of eternity, from the new heaven and the new earth, Jesus will rule through all of eternity. But before he sets up his literal kingdom, he came to establish a spiritual kingdom. That threw many people. They were looking for the literal kingdom. They failed to realize that before Jesus could set up a literal kingdom, he must first establish a spiritual kingdom and prepare a people to live in that literal kingdom. The dual nature of the Messiah is seen in my scripture tonight. The Bible says, unto us a child is born, which points to the humanity of Jesus Christ. Then it says, unto us a son is given, which points to the divinity or the deity of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God given unto us. A child is born. He's a human, barely human, 100% man. And he is the Son given, God's only begotten Son. So that he is not only human, he is divine. 100% God, 100% man, the God-man. And so we see in this passage of Scripture the dual nature of the Messiah. But due to the person and the work of Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us that he would be called Wonderful. And that title, Wonderful, means that he will be a person that provokes wonder and awe and amazement in the minds of people who know about him. There will be those who will call Jesus Wonderful. His life will catch the attention and provoke the admiration of people who will say, that man is wonderful. But not everybody says that Jesus is wonderful. In fact, I have known people who did not think that Jesus was wonderful. And I have known a lot of people who would say by their words that Jesus was wonderful, but they didn't really consider him wonderful if you just watched their life for a while. So, who is the people that will call Jesus wonderful? Well, some of those that call him wonderful are the angels. For the Bible tells us that God commanded the angels to worship him. And angels worshiped and adored the Messiah. Jesus Christ was special to them. They announced His coming every chance they got. They were telling people about this wonderful Savior. They announced His birth to Mary. They announced His birth to the shepherds on the hillside. They were involved very much in the coming of Jesus, His first coming. And we see them active in the birth, the first coming of Jesus Christ. They worship Him. They consider Jesus wonderful. The shepherds admired Him. When they heard about Jesus, they made haste to go see this wonderful sight. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. They made haste to go see this sight. When they saw Jesus, they couldn't be quiet about it. The Bible says they began to spread the word and tell others what they had heard and seen about Jesus Christ. They thought He was wonderful. Hallelujah. And the wise men thought Jesus was wonderful. They came from afar. They came many, many miles, dangerous territory, came to find the Messiah. They saw His star in the east, followed that star until they found Jesus in Bethlehem outside of Jerusalem. And there when they found Him, the Bible tells us that they worshipped Him and they gave Him their gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. The wise men worshipped Him. They thought Jesus was wonderful. When Jesus lived on this earth and carried out His ministry, His words were wonderful. We read in the Scriptures that Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." His enemies came to arrest Him, came away without Him, and when questioned, the soldiers said, only thing they answered was, "Never a man spake like this man spake." There's something wonderful about how He speaks. There's something wonderful about the words that He says. Not only was His words wonderful, but His works were wonderful. When the disciples were following Jesus, they were constantly learning something new about Jesus in different circumstances of life. Jesus was unfolding to them the character and the nature and the power of the Son of God. So that, we know, when they're out on the sea, these fishermen out on the sea with Jesus, and a storm comes up, and they think they're going to die, and Jesus stands up on the bow of the ship and says, "Peace, be still," and the wind ceases, and the waves lay down, and the storm is vanished, and the disciples say, "What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey Him?" They look at Jesus, and they say, "He must be wonderful. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the waves obey Him?" So there were those who considered Jesus wonderful. They heard His words. They saw His works. They were aware of who He was. And they said, "Jesus is wonderful." Not everybody declared Jesus wonderful. The Apostle Paul, before he met Jesus, he thought Jesus was a criminal. In fact, he thought He was a dead criminal. And he wrote later on and said, "No man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed." Nobody can speak by the Spirit of God and say that Jesus is accursed. Now, the reason he said that is because there were people saying that Jesus is accursed. Not everybody appreciated Jesus. Not everybody thought Jesus was wonderful. There were people that would say that Jesus is accursed. Because the Bible says, you know, whoever hangs on a tree, what was that? Whoever hangs on a tree is accursed, right? And people would say, "Look at that man, he's a criminal, he's been condemned, he's hung on a tree, he's accursed by God and by man." And there were those who said that Jesus was accursed. Not everybody thought highly of Him back then. That's the reason they crucified Him. And not everybody thinks highly of Jesus right now. I have been in the presence of those who despised Him. I've been in the presence of those who blasphemed Him. I've been in the presence of those who could not stand the name of Jesus Christ. Not everybody thinks that Jesus is wonderful. But the Bible tells us that there would be somebody who would call Him wonderful. I wonder tonight, do you and I call Him wonderful? Is he wonderful to us? Is he such a person to us that he excites awe and amazement and wonder in our heart? Does he have our attention? Does he have our adoration? Is Jesus wonderful to you? You may have heard of this man, Friedrich Nietzsche, who was a 19th century philosopher, atheist philosopher. He likened Christianity to poison that has infected the whole world. This is what he said of Jesus. He said he died too early. He himself would have revoked his doctrine had he reached greater maturity. This man was such a brutal philosopher, and his philosophy was picked up by Hitler, and we know the results of his philosophy and what Hitler did. Hitler was a follower of this man, Nietzsche. He said Jesus Christ poisoned the world. He poisoned the world with his teachings. He poisoned the world with his doctrine. Said he died too early. If he'd have lived longer, he'd have repudiated his own teachings. And he didn't know Jesus. And he despised the Son of God. Not everybody says Jesus is wonderful. Some say Jesus is a curse. Paul himself felt that way about Jesus. He felt that Jesus was a curse. He despised the Son of God. He wanted to do away with the name of Jesus and the followers of Jesus until he met Jesus for himself on the Damascus Road. And in the dust of the Damascus Road, Paul changed his mind about the Son of God. He decided that Jesus was not accursed, and he decided that Jesus was wonderful, and he called him Lord and began to follow Jesus and never looked back. I'm telling you, brother, when Jesus gets our attention, when we realize who he is and how great he is, and we can declare from our heart, Jesus is wonderful. Hallelujah. Oh, my heart says it tonight that Jesus is wonderful. When Paul met him, he said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul said, Jesus is more important to me than everything I've ever had that was gained to me. He's more so important to me that I have suffered the loss of all things for Christ's sake. And Paul was not the only one that did that. There were many Christians in that early day that suffered the loss of all things because of their loyalty to Jesus Christ. They loved him so good. The Bible says about the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews chapter 10 that they rejoiced when they lost everything because of their testimony for Jesus Christ. It could not destroy their joy because their treasure was not in earthen things, and their treasure was in Jesus Christ their Lord. To him, he was wonderful. Hallelujah. Oh, but Jesus would be wonderful to us. You know, when we look at the influence of Jesus Christ, and I've mentioned this many times in this church, what a difference Jesus has made in my life, my family, your lives, and your families. Now, there are some in this service tonight that you are starting in your family a heritage of biblical truths, a heritage of following Christ, a heritage of being conformed to the image of the Son of God. Some of us have had a heritage passed on down to us by those who knew Jesus Christ. And really, you know, this is a sad thing, but there are people who are breaking that lineage and throwing away that inheritance and neglecting the truths that God has passed down to us and the wonderful things that Jesus has done in families. But God help us to realize how valuable Jesus really is. I'm telling you, brother, Jesus makes a positive difference in every life he touches, every home he enters. Jesus makes a positive difference in every life, in every home that he gets his foot in. Sister Lenore has testified many times, I don't have a holiness heritage, but I'm starting one. Hallelujah. Brother, we may not have one in our home and our family, but we can start one. And our descendants can see how precious Jesus really is. Oh, if we call Him wonderful, if we live our lives to let others know that Jesus is wonderful, if we pass on down to future generations that Jesus is wonderful. Hey, brother, everybody in your home needs to know that Jesus hears and answers prayer, not just because we tell them so, but because they see it happen in our own families, in our own homes. They see God hear and answer prayer. He must be wonderful in our hearts and in our minds. Oh, thank God for what Jesus has done. You know, my dad would have raised me in a drunkard's home if it had not been for Jesus Christ. My dad would have raised me. He was a man who smoked cigarettes, drank liquor, cussed and swore and fought, and did all kind of bad things until Jesus saved his soul. That's the kind of home I would have been raised in if it had not been for Jesus. And no doubt I'd have followed in the same path if it had not been for Jesus. I'm telling you, Jesus has made a difference in my family, in my home. Never saw my dad light a cigarette. Never saw him take a drink of beer. Didn't know what alcohol smelled like all of my life, hardly. And my dad never said a cuss word in front of me. Never heard him say a cuss word because of the difference that Jesus made in his life. I'm telling you, Jesus is wonderful. Hallelujah, He's wonderful. You live in a country that's blessed by Jesus Christ. I don't care what they say. America's not blessed because we're smarter than anybody else. We're not blessed because we've got greater resources than anybody else. We're blessed out of the grace of God because there were people in this country that knew God and prayed to God and sought God and instilled biblical principles in the minds of the people of this country. We are blessed by Jesus Christ. Hey, go to some other country where Jesus is not honored. Get sick and have to go to the hospital there. You'll probably die before you get out. Oh, yeah. Oh, my. I'm telling you, it's a whole lot different when you go somewhere where Jesus is not honored. Life's cheap. You hear me? I said, life's cheap. Who cares if things are clean? Who cares if you get some disease and die in the hospital? Life's cheap. Yeah. You know, Brother Chuck Akers told us that in Venezuela, he said when a man is in trouble with the law in those communities, they don't come in there to arrest him. They come in there with their guns drawn and blazing. They come in there to kill him. They're going to wait. There ain't no trial. It's summary execution. Right there on the spot, they come in there to kill him. Guns are blazing. Bullets are flying. And the man dead before they leave there. Brother, Jesus made a difference. Here in this country, we have a measure of justice. We have a court system that's been influenced by the principles of Scripture. Jesus has made a difference. You know, we have education. The reason that we are educated, the reason you can read and write, the reason that you can read is because in this country we esteemed education because we wanted our children to be able to read the Bible. That's why our universities were built. That's why we established centers of higher education, because we wanted our people to be able to read the Bible. Jesus made that difference in this country. You have a country where there's a separation of political powers, so that all political power is not given to one individual in this country. The reason that happened is because of Jesus. Our founding fathers read the Bible. They said, they took this philosophy that power corrupts, and how'd it go? Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so they said you can't trust a man with absolute power. You've got to have checks and balances on his sinful nature. And so they established a government with a judicial branch, an executive branch, and a legislative branch to check the sinful impulses of man so that we could preserve our freedom. I'm telling you, it was brilliant, and it came from Jesus. It came from the Bible. We are free tonight and live in a wonderful country because of Jesus Christ. Yes, he's wonderful. You see that slavery was abolished in the world and in this United States because of Jesus Christ. Did you know that modern science owes its beginnings to Jesus Christ? That the scientists, ancient scientists said, God made this world. He established order in this world. We can discover the order that God established in this world. And so they studied the natural world around us. They said we're discovering the secrets of God. We're thinking the thoughts of God after Him. And they said science ought to glorify God. We're just discovering the laws that God put into this universe. Isn't that amazing? I wish all scientists had kept that humility of mind and still believed that we're just discovering the secrets of God in the universe. Jesus elevated the status of women. Women, I'm telling you, you know, in our country, in the last few years, we've had militant feminism in this country that has disparaged the Bible and Jesus Christ and complained about Christianity being a religion of oppression against a woman. They don't know what they're talking about. Brother, when Christ came on the scene, a woman was just like a piece of property. I'm telling you, her husband could kill her and nobody would say anything about it. She was just a piece of property. He could do anything with her he wanted to do and often did do it. And nobody could say anything about it. She was a piece of property. But I'm telling you, Jesus raised a woman's status in society. He told us that a woman is equal to a man. Oh yeah, she's just as important to a man in the sight of God. There's no difference in God's sight, neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. Did you hear me? I said there's neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. Now that doesn't mean that God doesn't have an order of authority and function within the family and the church. But in God's sight, a man's not more valuable than a woman. In God's sight, Jesus died for them all, and they all have equal standing before the cross. And women, you can be saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and live for Jesus and go to heaven and be free in Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. Jesus did that. He said that men were to love their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Every woman was to be a princess in her home. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. A man was to never lay his hand on a woman in a hostile manner. He was to love that woman and cherish her and treat her like a princess in his home. Is to love her like Jesus loved the church. That is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus made a difference. I'm telling you tonight, Jesus is wonderful. Oh yes, I'm just trying to convince you tonight that Jesus is wonderful. Hallelujah. Jesus established an ethical purity, sexual purity. The heathen world was full of immorality sanctioned by the religions of that day. Jesus brought a new ethic into the world. He said, a man and a woman is to be pure, that they are to reserve themselves for marriage, that all sexual activity outside of marriage is sinful. And Jesus established an ethic of purity that the world knew nothing about. Jesus did that. He gave us a high regard for human life, transformed lives, I'm telling you, brother, because Jesus came into this world, you and I have privileges that the world has never known because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I say, Jesus Christ is wonderful. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. You know, if Jesus had not been born, you probably would wish you had not been born. I said, if Jesus had not been born, you would probably wish that you had not been born. But because Jesus was born, because Jesus came into the world, because Jesus died for us, because Jesus rose from the dead, we can be happy and joyful in the Lord tonight. We don't have to go through life with our heads hung down. We don't have to go through life and with miserable because of our sins, but Jesus came to forgive us of our sins, transform our life, give us the joy of the Lord, and make life worth living. Thank God for Jesus. I say His name is wonderful. Hallelujah. Jesus is wonderful. No man can say that Jesus is, no man speaking by the Spirit of God says that Jesus is a curse. No man can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, when Jesus is wonderful to you, you'll want to tell somebody else about this wonderful Savior. And I want us to feel in our hearts, see in our hearts how wonderful Jesus is, so that we can tell somebody else how great, how wonderful the Son of God is. I was telling my family today before we had a Christmas with Kyle and Laura and the children today. Before we opened our presents, we had a little devotional. And I told them about a message that I just read that was preached by Charles Spurgeon, the British pastor of the 19th century. He preached a message on Christmas from the story of the gathering demoniac. In the story, Jesus delivers the demoniac from the powers of hell, powers of the demons. And this man, after he's delivered, he tells Jesus, I'll go with you. And Jesus said, I don't want you to go with me. I want you to go home. And I want you to tell what great things God has done for you. It was a wonderful message. I'd like to preach it myself. And so I'll just preach it a little bit right now. He said, being a Christian don't mean being separated from your family. It means that you go home. You go home to your family. You don't cut yourself off from them. Or there may be problems if your family's not saved. There may be some problems there. But the problem's got to be on their part, not ours. For we show the love of Christ. We go home. And he said, not only do we go home, but we go to tell them what God has done for us. And so, he said, at this Christmas season, many of you will be going home, back to your families. Some of you will be seeing them for the first time since Jesus saved you. He said, now go home and tell them what great things God has done for you. You don't have to give them a theological discourse. You don't have to enter into an argument with them over the things you disagree about. But you can just go tell them what wonderful things God has done for you. And brother, there's nothing more powerful than a testimony of what God has done for you. Just telling them how wonderful Jesus is. Can you imagine that demoniac going home? And here's his family. Last time they saw him, he was deranged, demented, crazy, out of his mind, dangerous. Everybody's afraid of him. And here comes this same man, calm, tamed, peaceful, delivered, clothed in his right mind. They hardly recognize this man. But he says, let me tell you, I met a man named Jesus. And that man Jesus changed my life and made me a different man. I want to tell you about Jesus. And brother and sister, you may not be a theologian. You may not be able to quote a lot of scriptures. But everybody that's been saved can tell somebody what great things God has done for us. We can brag on Jesus. Jesus is wonderful. Oh, Jesus is wonderful. Hallelujah. Let's make it our ambition. Make it our goal this Christmas season to go home and tell somebody how wonderful Jesus really is. Hallelujah. They'll call Him wonderful. Thank God. Oh, thank God. I love Him. I love Jesus. He's precious to me. He's wonderful to me. Jesus is wonderful to me. I wish I had words to tell how wonderful Jesus has been to me. Is He wonderful to you tonight? In your heart, are you declaring, Jesus, You are wonderful? Sometimes I just walk around the house in my heart saying, wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. He's wonderful. If you don't know Him in that manner, you'd be miserable in heaven, because Jesus is going to be the center of attraction there. And in order to get to heaven, you got to know Him like that, to where Jesus is wonderful to you. Is He wonderful to you tonight? Sister Judy, would you come to the piano tonight? Do you feel in your heart an attachment to Jesus Christ? Do you stand in awe and amazement of the words and works and wonders of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is He upon your mind, in your thoughts? Do you think upon Him? Do you seek His face? Are you being molded into His image? Is Jesus wonderful to you? Could we say this morning, this night, Jesus, You are wonderful to me. He wants to be like that to you. He wants you to think of Him in those terms. They shall call Him wonderful. Let's stand together tonight. The altars are open. There's somebody here in this service, you don't know Jesus. You don't know Him in this manner. That to you, He's wonderful.
Sing a song. How I love that day.